It's 12 weeks later, and the Trezombre has just pulled up in Portsmouth. We're sitting on board, we're here in the chart room down below. It's a little bit too windy to talk upstairs. You've got 50,000 bars of your chocolate from Grenada on board here.
Indeed. They've
travelled how many, nearly 5,000 miles.
Nearly 5,000 miles, 2.5 months.
And has the chocolate changed since you put it on board? Has it matured?
It certainly has, because we made it in haste, getting ready for the arrival of the Trezombre in Grenada. And very strong, very fine chocolate made with a really strong, fine bean like Grenada's bean really could do with some aging to really bring about the best flavors, especially in the style in which we make it, kind of low temperature conching and kind of light processing. And it aged for 2.5 months at sea.
So if I look at this chocolate that you're eating here and I ask you, can you tell me in a sort of 5-minute story how you got from being in New York and what you were doing there all the way to how this chocolate got to here in one story? Can you just tell me the story of how that happened?
Sure. Yes, it's a long story indeed. I grew up in New York City. I rather conventionally went to a kind of conventional university. I was studying engineering and mathematics. Did that for a few years. I was a young man at the time, and by the time I was about 19 or so, I became very disillusioned with American culture, Western world culture in general, capitalism. And I dropped out of university, and at the time, it was very, very extreme, the shift. I didn't want a degree. I thought it would be embarrassing at that point in my life to even have a degree from, you know, a proper university in the United States. I dropped out, started living in squats, hung out with a bunch of sort of underground anarchist kids. We did all kinds of good things. We took good care of our neighborhood. We took care of the homeless. We did all kinds of good things to alleviate suffering around us, and at the same time made our own way, living in squats and all that. After a couple of years of that, I decided to roam around, especially in the winter when it got so bitterly cold in New York City. And I grew up intrigued with the Caribbean. In fact, I grew up intrigued with Jamaica, but I had a friend from New York, from Grenada, Rasta guy, and he said such wonderful things about Grenada, so I decided to go to Grenada to take my first trip to the Caribbean there. So I went to Grenada with a little backpack with very few things and very little money, and I popped around a couple of other islands in the area of Grenada as well, other countries, on that first trip. And I completely fell in love with the people in Grenada and the vibe in Grenada, more than even than the other countries that I visited at that time. That trip was 2.5 months, and then came back to the United States, continued squatting and so forth. And then the next winter came, went back to Grenada. And then I kept doing that for 12 years. And after about 2 years, before I knew it, I had a bamboo house that I built up in the mountainside, way above a village, which is where the chocolate factory is now, called Hermitage. And I lived in that bamboo house on and off for 11 years, and attempted to grow all my own food, forage food, and climb coconut trees, and had my life there. So for those years, I was sort of back and forth between my natural life in the mountain, sort of not being part of the problem, living in the woods, to living in New York City in squats, kind of challenging the problem of society. But over those years in Grenada, I fell in love with cocoa and cocoa trees, and I fell in love with a local type of processing in Grenada, which they call making cocoa balls, which is a very simple, crude, I call it kitchen style processing of cocoa. And I started doing that, and I started hanging out with cocoa farmers and helping them pick cocoa, and I started carrying around a bag of dried cocoa beans with me wherever I went, and I would make this concoction. So I became kind of a cocoa hobbyist for probably the second half of those 11 years. And you can see where the dream came from then. You know, I was in love with cocoa, in love with Grenada, Grenadians, engineering student dropout that loves to build contraptions, which I used to do, solar cookers and all kinds of things. So I developed this dream, well, we should build a chocolate factory right here in the jungle in Grenada, and I looked into it when I had this idea and found that no one else had ever done it. There were no chocolate factories, right, in a cocoa farm, in a cocoa-growing country. Found that inspiring at the time. Found a partner from the United States who had some money put aside and was very intrigued with my idea. He was an old friend, and I told him about the idea. He said, well, right, there's a good piece of, you know, philanthropy that would be hands-on and exciting and challenging. So he joined me, and we spent 2 years at his place in Oregon, on the west coast of the United States, building machines. When we first set out to buy machines, we quickly found out there's no such thing as small-scale chocolate manufacturing machines. So we said, well, right then, we'll just design and build all our own. And after 2 years, we had designed a whole line of machines and had our own little chocolate factory, and then we shipped everything to Grenada. And we went into business we founded the company in 1999. We weren't really ready after renovation of our little building that we found right in the same village where I'd always lived there, in Hermitage, St. Patrick's, Grenada. But it was 2001, September, when we finally went into business. And then it was genuinely strange. As soon as we got into business, somehow we were sort of on the radar, and people started to write us and say, well, I'm a machine broker in Europe, and I can find you used machines, and there are these antiques and different things. So we started to travel a bit. We started to look for different machines. And anyway, over the years, we've replaced some of our homemade machines with professional machines and antique machines. We have a melange right now of new machines, antique machines we've repaired, still some homemade machines. And now, 11 years later, we're making 30 tons of dark chocolate a year instead of about half a ton that we started with, which is about 325,000 bars a year of chocolate. And we started out selling them only in Grenada to tourists and the local population. We also make a cocoa powder, which is extremely popular locally in Grenada. And after a few years, we started to get into exporting, and we met some wonderful people, first from Rococo Chocolates, then HB Ingredients, our current importer. And here we are now, 11 years after starting, and growing. Demand has finally exceeded supply again, and we're expanding all the time. Takes time to expand because we're a cocoa farmer-owned cooperative. That was the whole idea, and that's what we ended up doing. And we're organically certified. And the organically certified part is what requires patience, because every new farm that joins our cooperative is eager to, because they become shareholders immediately of the whole project without even buying the shares. That's fine. But it takes 1 to 3 years for them to become organically certified. Once they're done with that process, then they're a true member of the cooperative and a shareholder, and we can start to use their cocoa.
No, I know how proud you must be that one of your chocolate bars, your Nibblicious, has just won the silver at the Academy of Chocolates Awards. Is that right?
That's right. And it's really nice that this particular bar that we make called Nibblicious, which has bits of cocoa beans called nibs in the chocolate to give it a kind of a crunchy quality. And it was an amazing sort of accident and sort of invention, the Nibblicious bar, because somehow it's maybe something about the sum of the parts becoming more than the sum when put together, sort of thing. Anyway, it's very nice that Nibblicious is finally getting recognized, because it's probably our most popular bar. In the past, also from the Academy of Chocolate, our 82% and our 71% and our cocoa powder have all won awards. But this year, we're celebrating the Nibblicious, which has become probably our best seller.
That's fantastic. So just from a point of view of sort of final sort of words and what have you, anybody else in the world who's looking at doing a model like yours? Have you got any advice? Because I understand that you are kind of like a bit of a hero in the chocolate world, and a lot of people think you buck the trends, you're doing your own thing. You've got a lot of people looking up to you who are hoping to do the same thing. Have you got any advice or anything for them?
Things have changed a lot. I don't think it's clearly not necessary for any new startups like us to make all their own machines or go through what we've gone through. Things have changed a huge amount in the last decade. In the United States, there are these new bean-to-bar companies everywhere, and they're using these tiny machines, which are now available. There aren't machines to do everything. It's still just sort of the beginning of the micro machine age. But there are the availability of machines. For example, if we started our project now, we would have Googled small-scale chocolate manufacturing. We would have found the machine that everybody's using, and we would have found all these examples of bean-to-bar companies. We would have gone that route. Interestingly, when we started, none of that existed whatsoever. So we were forced to kind of go the more sort of homemade slash professional type antique machine route, which I'm grateful for, timing-wise, because it's nice to use those type of machines. Anyway, I do think that the Grenada Chocolate Company apparently, for the first few years of our existence, say the first 6 or 7, people wrote us all the time from cocoa farmer groups around the world. Can you help us make chocolate? Would you like to make a subsidiary in our country? And so on and so forth. Definitely not interested in making a subsidiary, but I give a lot of people advice. I'm willing to travel to help people. I thought it might be my calling to be a micro chocolate maker's consultant. You know, especially for cocoa farmers who want to make it in.
Can you say that again?
I thought it might be my calling for a while to be a kind of micro chocolate maker's consultant, particularly for making it in tropical countries, which has a lot of challenges, the humidity and so on. But to help cocoa farmers. The whole idea is to help the plight of cocoa farmers in the world. And I do give a lot of advice, and I am willing to travel to help people. Anyway, now, a few years later, there are many people, I understand now, in cocoa-growing countries in the Caribbean and other places, just trying to make chocolate, not quite there. But they're trying hard, and I think they'll get there, and there's some micro-machines available. And I think we've become kind of, I think we've started a movement. We've not only been an inspiration, but I think we've started a movement for this idea that cocoa farmers can make chocolate right there where they're growing the cocoa beans, which no one really thought about before.
What's that movement called, Matt?
It doesn't have a name. It's
Cacao Direct?
Cacao Direct, maybe, but Cacao Direct, which I'm a fan of as a concept, but that also means sourcing directly from a farm. It usually means sourcing directly from, say, a farm and bringing the beans back to Europe or the United States to making chocolate. So, no, I guess I would call it cocoa farmer-made chocolate, you know, on-site.
Mott's way. Mott, can you just do me one small favour, lastly? Could you, in 1 minute, explain the process in one go of how to make chocolate from the bean to the, from the field to the bar? Just really quickly for an edit.
Okay. To make chocolate from the farm to the bar, of course we grow the cocoa beans on cocoa trees, and then we harvest them, and then the beans are, the fresh beans with the fruit are fermented, and then dried. The dry beans are then converted into chocolate in our little chocolate factory. Essentially, it's like lots and lots of grinding with several different types of machines together with sugar, and you get chocolate. And it's a fat-based product. There's no moisture or water involved at all. As you heat it, roast it, grind it, the fat comes out. A little bit like making peanut butter. You grind these dried roasted peanuts, you get this greasy peanut butter. You grind roasted cocoa beans, you get this greasy cocoa liquor, they call it in the industry, kind of like unsweetened chocolate. Then you mix it with sugar and you keep grinding it, and you grind it, and then eventually you have a chocolate bar.
That's fantastic. Last question. Bringing your chocolate back on the Tres Hombres costs you something like 5 times as much as if you stuck it on a cargo ship.
That's right.
That must mean a lot to you that it's brought back on a fair trade transport vessel.
Absolutely. We invested a lot of our would-be profits for the shipment this year and last year in the shipping itself. And it's because we believe so strongly that, you know, we make the chocolate with as much solar power as we can. We have a lot of solar panels. We're trying to be a correct chocolate company in every way. And most people tend to not take into account the shipping part of a product that you buy. You know, it might be made somewhat sustainably, but then if it gets shipped halfway around the world with regular container ships or airplanes, it's tremendous amounts of resources and carbon is produced, you know, as a result of that shipping. So the dream of getting around that, the dream of having it actually, you know, produced ethically for, with regards to people and with regards to the environment, and getting actually shipped ethically relative to the environment, you know, came true for me by meeting the Tres Hombres. And we need bigger boats like the Tres Hombres in the future. The Tres Hombres themselves are thinking about building a bigger boat so that we can move more chocolate as we grow. But what we've proved now 2 years in a row is that it's perfectly feasible.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much for inviting me into your world of chocolate. It's been an amazing journey, Mott.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for visiting all the way down in Grenada.
It was worse getting to Portsmouth, actually.
It is indeed, yeah.